Okay. And now we'd like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Hank H. from San Diego.
My name's Hank. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August the 12th, 1961. And every moment is a miracle. Every moment is grace. Every moment is a gift from a loving God who seen a little boy sleeping in dumpsters and laying in alleys and going to the funny places and going to jail. And that God was like the good shepherd. He roamed around in the land of the living dead, and he was crying as he did for all of us, "Where is my baby? Where is my baby?" And he scooped me up and he brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And after about 2 weeks in Alcoholics Anonymous, my ego was flying. And I said to my dear mother, I said, "Have you noticed that I haven't been staying out all night lately?" And she says, "Yes, I have." And I said, "Have you noticed that I haven't been coming home with black eyes and blood coming off of me?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Have you noticed that I haven't been in jail?" And she says, "Yes." "What happened?" I said, "I've been going to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was so proud of myself." And she looked at me and she said, "God answered my prayer. The prayer of a mama who laid in bed like a little good shepherd saying, 'Where is my baby?' was answered. The wise old man said that it seems to him that there are far too many people in recovery who are so busy reliving yesterday that they leave no time left to create a vision of tomorrow. So if you came here for a long drunkalogue, sorry. 'Tain't going to happen, sweetheart." And I'm not a song and dance man either. I hobble around with a cane nowadays. There ain't no song and dance. Well, you don't want to hear me sing. So I'm only going to tell one joke. The alcoholic sponsee and his sponsor were in the little airplane, and it crashed, and they ended up on a deserted island, and the bottle came up to shore, and the sponsor picked it up and pulled the cork out, and the genie jumped out, and the genie says, "You have one wish. Make it a good one." Sponsor said, "Well, I miss my wife and kids and friends already. And I want to, I really would love to go home. That's my wish." And all of a sudden, the sponsor disappeared. And the sponsee was standing there. And the genie says, "It's your turn. What'll it be?" And the sponsee said, "I don't know. You got questions, decisions. That's a hard one. Oh, I wish my sponsor was here to help me." Thank you, Eric. Here's the drunkalogue. It's like a speeding bullet, so get ready. It's going to whiz by real fast. And then we'll talk about the miracle of recovery. Okay. When I was 16, I had a drink of alcohol. And I woke up the next day in the late, late stages of alcoholism. And I went on a drunk. And alcohol was my drug of choice. And when I couldn't get alcohol, whatever I could get was my second drug of choice. And then one day, after hacking my hand almost off completely and dying, and some good doctors who were a little better at saving lives than I was at taking one brought me back. And I went out and I had a drink for a couple more years. And then one day, Mama's prayer was answered, and I was standing at the bottom of the stairs at the Hannon YMCA on the east side of Motown at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I looked up the stairs, and Holly was standing there. Holly was a beautiful, articulate black lady. She looked like Mother God standing up there. And I worked my way up to the top, hoping that I didn't bump into the beautiful lady. And all of a sudden, she had her arms around me. I got the most beautiful welcome I think that anybody has ever had in Alcoholics Anonymous. She put those arms around me and she held me as close as she could, this broken, lonely, battered, confused, lost little boy. And she held me as close as she could and she whispered in my ear some words that indelibly changed my life forever. It's always the moments, the unexpected moments. The moments that come from the heart of God past another human being, wrapped in love. And she held me close and she said, "You're home, baby. We love you." Okay. I'm here most of all tonight for the new people, or the relatively new people. And I have a message. And it comes not from my head, it comes from my heart. You're home, baby. We love you. You ain't here by no accident. You are here because of loneliness and pain and desolation and separation from God and all the stuff that hurts. And now you're home. You're at the greatest spiritual smorgasbord in the history of the human race. Celebrate it. Eat it. Drink it. Enjoy it. Hop, skip, and jump down the road of happy destiny. And I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, a love affair that continues to today. I only had one problem. As I sat there marveling at you people, your spirituality, your sensitivity, your grandiosity when it came to loving people. I had one problem. My alcoholism was still intact. And more than anything in the world, I wanted to be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous one day for the rest of my life. And at the same time, more than anything in the world, I wanted a drink. That's the agony of the beginning. That's the agony of addiction. A human being, a beautiful, precious child of God, split into two parts, and the one is crying out for hope and love and new beginnings and dignity and creativeness, and the other part wants a drink. And so I went out four or five times. I don't know how many. I was very, very sick. August the 12th, 1961, I woke up again in a mental institution in Frankfurt, Germany, and I was looking at a dishonorable discharge from the U.S. Army and 20 years in the federal penitentiary. And what was really, really sad was I didn't care. I was used to suffering. I was used to pain. But somehow something hit me that there's something absolutely abnormal. There's something absolutely insane about waking up under those conditions and just not caring. Because there's this little spark, I believe this, inside of every human being. AA calls it the innermost self. There's this little spark of spirituality, this little spark of humanity that cries out and says, "Let me live, let me be, let me do, let me make love, let me fall in love. Let me screw up. Let me succeed. Let me dream. Let me hope. Let me love God. Let me love somebody and let somebody love me. Let me be fully spiritual and fully human." Because you see, this is my history. This is my story. It is my destiny. And it's horrible if it ends as a grim statistic. And a little old lady brought the book Alcoholics Anonymous and left it on the side table. There's always the angels. The little angels. Mama, Holly, the lady that weighed about 70 pounds and somehow got in there and brought the book. And I got off the bed on my knees and I opened up the book. And I read the most beautiful words that I have ever read in my whole life. Liberating words that I read at most meetings. Words of hope. Words of new beginnings. Words that make sense. It says probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, but that God could and God would. Here it comes, get ready. I've never worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, never. And neither have you. When we open up the big book and we get to chapter 5, like all chapters, it has a title. And the title isn't how we worked it, the title is how it works. And the answer to the question, how it works, we take certain steps. Not that we work them, we take them. And as a result, we have a spiritual awakening. And I've had people look at me and say, well, you're semantics, you're playing with words. No, I'm not playing with words, I'm playing with my life. I need to understand what that book says. Because I'm sober 50 years. And I'm a human being. And I don't want old-timers disease. I don't want to walk around here an equal among equals. I don't want to walk around in front of my peers looking like a peacock saying, ooh, ooh, I'm sobriety man, don't you know? And I'll tell y'all how to run this group. And I'll tell y'all how to do your program. And I'll tell y'all how to poop. You know, I'm going to tell you everything. Because I'm sobriety man. I'm not worth a peso more than anybody else in the world, nor am I worth a peso less. I am the recipient of a massive miracle. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Get ready again, I'll always warn you. I love you. I love you so much. You are so incredible. You are so precious. You are so beautiful. And then the guy that don't want to be beautiful gets up and says, now wait a minute. If you knew what I did, I ain't got no time to know what you did. I was busy didn't what I did, which wasn't too pretty. And I was sitting in an AA club one time, not here in another city, and there was this table with all these folks, and they were talking about the folks in the other table. And the folks in the other table were talking about the folks in this table. They were taking inventory and drawing conclusions and looking at differences. And a brand new lady come up to me and she says, I don't understand this. Always listen to the new ones. They're still fresh and precious. She said, I don't understand this. I said, what don't you understand? She said, it's just like guerrilla warfare. But they all got the same uniform on. This program is about love. Love and tolerance of others is our code. We cease fighting anything or anybody. I would love to stand up here and tell you how wonderfully I always love everybody. And you'd giggle. And you'd ask me to leave, okay, for a moment. Then you'd let me back. We claim progress, not perfection. I do know this. There is nothing more precious. There is nothing more beautiful. There is nothing more liberating. There is nothing more spiritual. There is nothing more life-giving in the whole world than to commit a gentle act of love to somebody and not get caught. Sometimes people say, well, I love her because she's so good in bed. I love him because she's so handsome. Oh, I love her because she makes the huevo rancheros like ain't nobody ever made them. There's only one reason to love somebody. Only one. And if you add any condition, it's been destroyed. There's only one reason to love. Y'all sitting there on the edge of the chair saying, quit talking to tell us the reason. The only reason why anybody should ever love anybody is just because. Just because. Don't add anything to it. Don't mess it up. Don't put conditions on it. I love her because she's so good in bed. What happens when she gets sick and you got to go wipe the poop off of her and you don't want to do that? Do you still love her? Just because. It is about love. More than anything in the world, it's about the love of God. I don't understand God. I'm mad at God. I've had a couple to-dos with God. God don't like me. I used to do that. I used to do all that analyzing and figuring out and intellectualizing and debating and arguing about God and defining God. It put me in a couple nut houses. That's how well it worked. Okay. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I want to do the dance of love with God. I don't want to figure God out. I want to do the dance of love. One Friday night, I had a car for a while till I wrapped it around a telephone pole. And a guy owed me some money, and they were having a Friday night school dance, and I showed up to get my money so I could buy some more stuff. And he wasn't quite there yet, so I sat down to wait for him to come. And they had the big long bench on the one side with all the guys and the big one on the other side with all the gals. And everybody was talking about Joyce Blackwell. So big. So pretty. And they were all intellectualizing about Joyce, what classes she took and who her siblings were and where she lived and all the rest of it. And all of a sudden, Joyce got up and walked across the room. And she was looking straight at me. And I had a moment of stark terror. And she walked right up to me. And she says, I want to dance with you. And I said, no, you don't want to dance with me. I'll mutilate your feet. She said, you can't do it any worse than all these other guys. I want to dance with you. And I held Joyce in my arms, and Joyce was warm and soft and pretty. And she smelled like lilacs. And we danced. And at the end of the dance, I went and I sat in my car and I drank my booze, and 12 o'clock WXYZ always closed with Jesse Belbin singing Good Night, My Love, Pleasant Dreams, Sleep Tight, My Love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me. And if you should awake in the still of the night, please have no fear, for I'll be there to love and to care over you. And I cried, and another piece of me died. And I had the experience of Joyce. Those guys were probably still sitting there intellectualizing. I held her in my arms. Holly held me in her arms. I've had a spiritual awakening. I use my head to remind myself it's time to pay the rent. Other than that, forget that sucker. It's out to get me still. I want to feel. I want to feel. I want to be alive. I want to participate. I want to have dreams. I want to have hope. I want to have new beginnings. Last Monday, I turned 75. And I'm not growing old. I'm older and I'm growing, don't you know? And I got back from Mexico City last Sunday. I went to see a friend of mine who asked me to come and see her about 6 years ago, and I was going to do it, and it fell apart at the last minute. And then about a year and a half ago, I was going to do it, and it fell apart at the last minute. And I have a dear, dear friend in Portland, Oregon, and she sent me a letter. She said, "Hank, we're going to Mexico City." And we did. And what happens is that we live for the moment. We live just for today. And we don't regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. Well, we cleared away the debris of the past when we took inventory. And so it's okay to dream. It's okay to dream. And what I find is that when I dream, and I bring the dream to God, and God checks it out, and if it's a good dream, God changes the dream into a moment. And then the moment becomes a memory. I've been to Mexico City. Okay? I've been there to see my friend. 1961, the year that I got sober, I stood on top of the Eiffel Tower with beautiful little Monique, and all of Paris was shining below us. And it was beautiful. A few years ago, I stood on top of the Eiffel Tower with my friend Betty, and all the lights were shining, and it was beautiful. And a few years ago, when I had 45 years, I was sent by the District 4 of Mexico, which is all of Baja and part of Sonora. I was sent to represent that district at the 9th National Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous in Central America. 50,000 people in the stadium, and they had the countdown. And the old guys, like me, were down below holding our little candles. And a beautiful little senorita was assigned to each of us to bring us coffee and watch that we didn't fall off the stage and kill ourselves. You notice I'm checking this baby out. I'm holding on. Last time, I also noticed they taped it up. Last time I had it over there, and I was over here. And there was a little Mexican man standing next to me. And they got to 43 years. And I said a prayer. I said, "Please, God, let me sit down when they get to 45 and let him still be standing, please." And they got to 44, and he looked at me, and he smiled, and he sat down. And I looked at the little senorita, and I said, "I can't do this." And she says, "What do you mean you can't do it?" I said, "Haven't you noticed?" She said, "Notice what?" I said, "This is the 9th National Convention of AA in Central America. I'm a gringo." She looked at me, and she got mad. She says, "You better start standing tall, gringo, because you're representing District 4. And we don't want you slopping around up here." And she said, "Oh, by the way, you're not a gringo." I said, "I'm not." She said, "No, you're not. You're one of us. Don't much matter how old we are, what color we are, what education or lack of it we have, what money we got or don't got, how young or how old, we are all in this beautiful thing together." I didn't do 20 years in the federal penitentiary. I started going back to AA meetings. I got 2 honorable discharges from the U.S. Army and 1 from the Colorado National Guard. I almost got kicked out of high school, but the law said that they couldn't kick me out, so they let me sit there and sleep all day. And when the day came, go ahead and laugh. I'm sorry I interrupted you. When the day came, I did my Jimmy Dean number. I had my pig pants and my hairdo. I had hair. And had the cigarettes rolled up on the sleeve. And all these people had these funny dresses on and these funny hats. And they handed me this diploma. And they said, you know, the only reason we're giving this to you is it absolutely guarantees that you'll never come back again. I said, up yours. To the priest. And I handed the diploma to Mama, and I went out and I got drunk. And then 12 years later, I went to college and majored in behavioral science. And ended up being a children's rehabilitation clinician. Ended up being a substance abuse clinician. Ended up being a pastoral counselor for 25 years. And I went to Ireland one time, and I wanted to walk where my mommy and my daddy walked. And I did. And I came back, and I found out about this obscure law that they passed in 1958. I won't go into a lot of details, but it says that under certain conditions, you can petition the Republic of Ireland for your Irish citizenship. And I did. And I got a European Union passport in the mail a year later saying that I'm an Irish citizen. And I'm not going into any details in this one either, but I lived in beautiful downtown Tijuana for a year as an illegal alien because I wanted to see what it felt like. Because my daddy was an illegal alien. I wanted to see what it felt like. I wanted to be like my daddy. And I became part of the acceptance group of Alcoholics Anonymous, Tent and Nebrati. If anybody gets that way, tell them Hank sent you. And what happened is, a little while ago, I'm not going to petition the Mexican government, but I could. But I found out about more obscure laws and little tidbits. I'm a Mexican citizen. All right? Fully bona fide Mexican citizens. And when I laid in that hospital when I was 19 years old, after I did this, I don't know if you can see it beyond the first row, but I chopped it off with a piece of glass because I didn't want to live any longer. And there was, all the orderlies back then were black guys. And they lined up to give blood to this little white boy. I'm proud of my 10% blackness. I am so proud of it. I am. Right? Yo. And before I forget, almost 10 years ago, Eric and I got down on our hands and knees on the sidewalk in front of the Alano Club in Pacific Beach. And he turned his will and his life over to care of God, and I reconfirmed my decision. And he's been sober ever since. And somebody came up to Dr. Bob one time at a meeting, and they said to Dr. Bob, they said, Bob, tell us about the spiritual part of the program. Somebody that was at that meeting was sharing this with me. He said, let's not kid ourselves. Bob did. He said, the whole damn thing is spiritual. The whole damn thing is spiritual. Probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, but God couldn't would if he were sought. And one day, these two guys came up to me and they said, you know, it's cool, man, that you got the spiritual thing. But you should hold back a little on it. Because you're going to scare the new guy away. Man, if I'm going to scare him away, what's that book going to do? That book talks about God upside down, backwards, sideways, the back cover, the front cover. The only part where it doesn't say God is the page number. But I listened. I listened, and I sure didn't want to scare anybody away, so I quit talking about God at meetings. And then I quit praying, because that's talking to God. And guess who I ended up talking to again? Me. And at one point I said to myself, you know what? You keep this nonsense up, you're going to be back out there again. And I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed. And I went back to that meeting looking for those guys to tell them, I can't do that. I hope they're okay. It's been about 30 years ago. I haven't seen them. I hope they're okay. So I'm going to talk about God. And if I offend anybody by talking about God, all I can say is I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for you, baby, not for me. Probably no human power could keep me sober and on the platform and breathing and all the rest, but God couldn't, would if you were soft. Hallelujah. Go ahead, I won't interrupt you this time. And you told me to come up with a concept of God. God, I was so full of all this crazy stuff. And one day, I was sitting at a meeting. I'm not leaving. I read this part right here. And my whole world changed. Oh, I'm sorry. My whole world changed again. A loving God. A loving God. And today, when I need advice, when I need direction and guidance, I go to Papa God in the 11th step, and I pray the most neglected word in all the steps, only for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. And I get intuitive guidance and direction. When I'm wounded, when I'm crying myself to sleep, when I'm hurt. We're not alkies in Disneyland. You stay sober long enough, baby, you're going to hurt in sobriety, and you're going to jump with joy in sobriety. So when my little beautiful 2-year-old girl, my little miniature Joyce Blackwell, suddenly died one night when I had 5 years of sobriety, and I went comatose, and the good people of Alcoholics Anonymous brought me chicken soup, and they read out of the book, and they prayed with me. And 19 days later, I came out of it. And a couple of years ago, when Anita and I were going to meet for hamburgers at McDonald's, and she didn't show, which was unusual. And after a while, I called Anita, and she didn't answer her phone. And I called a mutual friend, and she said, oh, you don't know. I said, I don't know what. She said, Anita overdosed and died this morning. Okay. We had made love about 100 times. I still love her and I still miss her. And those are the moments when I go to Mother God. The little boy goes to Mother God, and the little boy lays in her arms. And she nurtures him, and she loves him, and she takes care of him. If you start telling lies at AA meetings, you're going to have big problems. So get ready for the next story and take it wherever you want to take it. Sometimes I go to Creator God. I walked across the Rocky Mountains a couple of times. I slept up in my little pup tent in the Rocky Mountains. I've been up in electrical storms up there. And one night in the dead of winter, I was in my little pup tent. And I got out in the morning, knocked all the ice off the flaps, and I went and dug some holes in the ice and put the coffee on and waited 2 hours for the water to boil. And I made my coffee, and I prayed, and I meditated, and I was at one with God and you and me, and I was at peace. And I sensed that I wasn't alone. Hey, little tiny baby deer. I don't know if it was him or her, but he or she wanted her drink of water. And I knew that if I jumped or moved or went or whatever, that little baby would probably run. And I knew Mama was watching somewhere. And so I said, be at peace, Hank. Just be quiet. And I did. And she came down, had her morning drink of water, turned around. We were like eyeball to eyeball. And she kissed me and smiled and toddled off. Okay? And I used to many, many times think about the Drifters and their songs. See, I'm a Motown boy. Yo, I'm 10% black and I'm Motown. And I got a cane, so don't mess with me. But there were many, 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 many times when I'd listen to Drifters singing, Could This Be Magic? And I'd meditate about Alcoholics Anonymous, this beautiful, beautiful, precious program. And I say to myself, could this be magic? And one day I realized it couldn't be magic, because magic happens at the circus. Magic is always an illusion. This ain't no illusion. And if it couldn't be magic, then what was it? Maybe it's a miracle. And if it's a miracle, it's love. And if it's love, it's God. I had a quadruple bypass 12 years ago. I've been in and out of the hospital 66 times in the last 12 years, most of them the emergency ward. I'm just like you, I'm dying. Okay? I just got a little better picture of how it might happen, unless I walk in front of a bus. And I'm older and growing and getting a little more mature, a little more time to reflect on those things that are really, really important. Those things that are really, really beautiful. Those things that are really precious. It's God and it's love. And I didn't finish my little God thing. There's sometimes when I want to play. Sometimes I want to run down the beach. Sometimes I want to eat too many hot dogs. Chicago dogs. Lots of chili and onions. And those times I hook up with Baby God. And Baby God and I, we sing and we dance and we play. And then there are times when I hear the soft, still voice of the God that cries. The wounded God, the good shepherd who walks about saying, where are my babies? That God is looking at you and looking at I and looking at the door of every meeting and saying, when that brand new one walks in, bear in mind I'm the one that sent that person. And I sent that person so they can be loved by you. Not ignored by you, but loved by you. And caressed by you. And cradled by you. And gentle acts of love. Hi, how are you? Can I get you a cup of coffee? That kind of business. This AA deal, the sobriety business. It ain't never, ever, 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 ever about you. If you think it's about you, sweetheart, you're probably whistling Dixie. You just might be in for one rude awakening. And it sure as hell isn't about me. It is always about you and I and God. It is about us. It's about we. It's about hope. It's about new beginnings. It's about love. And more than anything in the world, it's about a loving God who looks down on her suffering children one at a time and says, "That's it, baby. Tomorrow you're going to your first 12-step meeting. When you go to that meeting, hopefully you'll meet this wonderful person who will be your friend, your partner, and your sponsor. And the two of you together will embark on an incredible journey called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when you get down to the end of that journey, you'll be at a place called a new freedom and a new happiness. You will have dismounted from the pony of despair, loneliness, and anger. You will have left the land of the living dead. You will emerge from the darkness. You'll find yourself with one hand in the hand of a loving God and the other in the hand of a suffering alcoholic. And you'll continue to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And every day thereafter when you awaken, you will have two choices. You can remount the pony of despair, loneliness, heartache, and go back to the land of the living dead, into the darkness, ultimately to become a grim statistic. Or you can continue to keep one hand in the hand of a loving God and the other in the hand of a suffering alcoholic. Continue to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Just for today, I choose God. Okay? I choose God one day at a time. This program is so unbelievably precious. We're the pioneers. We're the pioneers. I think it's 77 years now, just about, since AA started. The historians would look at 77 years and say, that's a few seconds. That's a beginning. We are the pioneers. And this old dog is kind of seeing the shade being pulled. And so, a couple minutes I got left, let me talk to the new folk. Let me talk to the new people. If you're sitting here and you're saying, "I don't have what it takes," or "I've been in and out too many times," or "I'm too smart or too dumb or too unlike those other people or too much like them," or "I'm here because the judge sent me, I'm here to get the wipe off my butt, I'm here for whatever." Be real, real careful. Be real careful. Those are the bones, the chains of addiction, gnawing away at your soul, hoping to bring you back out again. And we got the silly little saying that we say a lot, called "keep coming back." Don't keep coming back, baby, you're here. Take a pen out and scratch your name in the seat. And don't let nobody take it. Because you have the right to walk in the fullness of your dignity. You have the right to do the dance of love with God. You have the right to make love and to be loved and to be rejected and to fail and succeed and explore and do all the things that a little child does. And a friend of mine said to me one time, she said, "Hank, I want to pay you a compliment, but I don't want you to misunderstand it." I said, "Why don't you just pay me the compliment? I'll worry about understanding it." She said, "The thing I love the most about you is the fact that you are such a child." And I said, "Okay." And I went home and I took another book down off the shelf. And the book said, it wasn't conference-approved literature, but the book says, "Unless you become as little children, you will not know the kingdom of heaven." Where we've been, and we're sitting in this room, is about as close to the kingdom of heaven as we've ever been. Hold on to it. And I got about 2 minutes left. I had a friend named 3 minutes. Thank you. I had a friend named Joni. We about 7-8 years ago, we weren't lovers, we were friends. We just loved each other, just because. And Joni was ill. And a good time, Charlie and AA wanted to go to bed with Joni, and he knew the only way he could do it was to get her intoxicated, and he did. And she died that night. You are, in fact, each of you, either my brother or my sister. And God has brought us all together to love each other just because, and to continue this magnificent program. And we need to put aside our character defects and our selfishness and our self-centeredness and be hollies and reach out and love and protect and care for each and every one of us. Boy, that sounded moralistic. Only because it is. We are called to a new morality. And I got 2 minutes left. Thank God. It ain't easy being 75 and blowing all this smoke and all this, you know. Let me close with the humility prayer. We had the little prayer called the humility prayer when I first came to AA. And whenever I speak, I like to close with the humility prayer. And I always cry. Crying is the music of the soul. Real men cry. That's part of being a back and my spirituality. And damn it, I'm going to use it. And it's going to use me. And so here's the humility prayer. God, I know not what I am. Dear God, I know not what I ought to be. Dear, dear God, I don't even know what I want to be. Thank you, God. I ain't what I used to be. Thank you.